1, 2, 3, hit it, boy. Wow.
So get together, have a few laughs.
Uh-oh. Shit, lady, do I sound like I'm ordering a pizza?
Lady, put the freaking gun down on the ground right now. Take your son across the freaking street and say that until he's gonna get you.
Hello, and welcome to Where There's a Willis, There's a Way, a film podcast about the multitude of works by Bruce Willis. My name is Kendrick Martin.
And I'm Josh Carter. Today, we're going to be covering 2006's Lucky Number 11, directed by Paul McGuigan and written by Jason Smilovic. This movie stars Josh Hartnett, Morgan Freeman, Sir Ben Kingsley, Lucy Liu, Stanley Tucci, and Bruce Willis. If this is your first time listening to this podcast, what we do here is an in-depth breakdown of a movie starring Bruce Willis, both from a film perspective and his individual contribution. We'll add the movie to our rankings, talk trivia, and do the Wheel of Willis.
Find our previous episodes at williswaypod.com. Find other podcasts in the Last of the Action Heroes podcast network over at lastoftheactionheroes.com. Thank you to everyone who supports this podcast. If you want to support this podcast, head on over to anchor.fm/willis-way. Your support goes a long way in helping us produce this podcast. If you want to support us for free, you can head on over to iTunes, Spotify, Utify, Spliffify. Those are all services that we would gladly take a rating on. And if you head on over to there, just give us a 5-star rating. And, of course, tell your friends and family and your family's friends about us. We would really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We also are not going to apologize for whatever virus you may get from going to all these other websites that Kendrick is mentioning, because I don't know that they exist entirely in the ethereal realm. All right. Before we do any discussing of this movie, we like to kind of give it a rating where we kind of decide if we think that this movie is worth a recommendation for a watch or not. Not every Bruce Willis movie is going to be made equal. I don't know if you know this, but his filmography is not all the same movie over and over and over again. It has some variance, and our ratings will reflect that. We've come up with an infallible rating system where anything that we recommend is above a Bruce, and anything that we don't recommend watching is a Bruce or below. So, Kendrick, how would you find this movie?
As infallible as it is, hearing you describe it fallibilizes me. This is the second time watching this. I saw it when it first came out.
Okay.
This movie has a special place in my heart. And also...
Really?
My soul.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to give this movie a Bruce W.
Nice. I'm going to give this movie a Bruce Space. One below a Bruce W. Still a recommendation, just a very tepid one.
Bruce Space is that part of Star Trek where they have to drop out of subspace, but they're still invisible.
I thought that Bruce Space was where species 4297 came from in Voyager or whatever was. Yeah.
Liquid space.
Tom, can you take us back into Bruce Space? Well, I don't know, Captain. I'll give it a shot.
You got to be careful. They might accidentally promote Harry Kim.
Yeah. Whoa. Oh, man. Shout out to the only cast member of Voyager I've met in real life. Oh. Garrett Wong. Love him. He's so handsome. Handsome enough not to get kicked off the show after the third season.
Yeah. Right.
We don't have any more emails to read because this podcast, I'm not going to spoil when it was recorded, but it's recorded fairly soon after. Would you say pretty soon after the other podcasts?
I don't know how to measure time, but if I did, I would measure it smallly.
Smallly. Yeah. Tiny-ish is what I would say.
Yeah.
A tiny-ish amount of time. Mm-hmm. How would you rate the time? Would you rate it like a B, or is it like a Walter amount of time?
I rate it a T at a time.
T at a time.
Or tea time.
Oh, tea time. So we recorded it very soon after. We don't have any emails. If you did email us, we will get to it next time. We promise. You can follow us at Willis Way Pod at the various social medias. The list includes the website formerly known as Twitter, the website known as TikTok, the website known as Instagram, and Facebook as well. No, we don't have a Facebook, do we?
The last of the Acting Heroes Podcast Network does.
That's true. That's true. So if you get a Facebook knacker and follow us, you can go over to Last of the Podcasts, Last of the Action Heroes Podcast Network, the easiest podcast network to say, and you can find us on there.
Facebook Nacarin is one of those viruses you might get. If
we're going to have to put down Grandma. She's got the Facebook Nacarin. I don't know if she's going to make it.
Well, things in our U.S. politics might be a little different.
True.
We did that. But we're going to take a quick break and then get into our movie.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger.
Now we're going to get into lucky number 11.
Reason I'm in town because of a Kansas City shuffle. He knows a lot of people. People connected only by the slightest of events.
Give me your wallet.
Am I being mugged?
That is how these affairs begin.
The cat's in town.
Good cat?
Who's good cat?
He shows people dying. He vanishes.
Who are you looking for?
This is our guy.
Nick Fisher.
Who is he?
The kid and I have unfinished business.
Boss wants to see you.
Who's the boss?
The guy we work for.
I'm not the guy you're looking for. I don't live here.
Yeah, well, you look like the guy that lives here.
Then you don't know what the guy that lives here looks like.
What he means to say is you look like you live here.
Yeah, that's what I mean to say.
What happened to your nose?
It's a very long story.
I think it's time you told me that story.
Well, there's this guy and they call him the boss. I'm sorry, who are you?
I'm the boss.
They picked up the wrong guy.
Wrong guy for what?
Whatever it is you want to see me about.
Do you know what I want to see you about?
No.
Then how do you know I have the wrong guy?
Then right across the street lives this other crime boss they call the rabbi.
Why do they call him the rabbi?
Because he's a rabbi.
Yeah.
But I'm not Nick Fisher.
And who the hell are you?
I'm Slevin.
That's not Nick Fisher.
I know.
He set you up. You should run.
I can't.
They'll kill you if you stay.
They'll kill me if I leave.
Time's up.
I'm a world-class assassin. I'm gonna kill somebody. I'm thinking of a new option.
Lucky number 11.
That audio was from the trailer of Lucky Number 11. I'm going to read the description from IMDb. A case of mistaken identity lands Slevin into the middle of a war being plotted by two of the city's most rival crime bosses. Under constant surveillance by Detective Burkowski and Assassin Goodcat, he must get them before they get him. And you can find this movie on VOD.
So, Lucky Number 11. I don't even know where to begin on this movie.
I want to first mention the Josh Hartnett of it all.
Oh, yeah.
I really miss Josh Hartnett, and he's like now back this year.
Really?
He's having a heart-nessance. Heart-nessance. Yeah, he's in Black Mirror.
Do you feel closer to the heart now?
If you go back to the last episode, what was that movie? One from the Heart?
I don't
in the heart.
Is it Hearts Braveheart? War? Hearts oh, War. Yeah, Hearts War. Right. You might know Josh Hartnett from Hearts War. If you do, check yourself into a doctor.
Yeah, he's great in this movie and like extremely quippy and likable.
Fuck yeah, he's great in this movie.
And his chemistry with Lucy Liu is great, who's also wonderful. And I feel another person you don't really see much of anymore.
Totally.
But I was like, I was in love with her in this movie. She's wonderful. Yeah. And watching her and Josh Hartnett bounce off each other was super funny.
Totally.
Like I mentioned, I saw this movie when it first came out, and it was a lot of fun. I didn't realize when it, so it came out in 2006,
mm-hmm.
17 years ago. I was younger then, and I don't think I recognized it for what it really was, which is like a Tarantino / Coen brother ripoff.
Totally.
And
Robert Rodriguez-esque as well. Like, there's a lot of Sin City-esque stuff in this movie.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I was watching with my wife, and she was like, oh, is this going to be like Sin City? Because she hates that movie.
Yeah.
But
it's not the same thing, so...
Yeah, the opening of this movie is extremely brutal.
Totally.
A lot of people die.
Totally.
But after that, it's like a while before more brutality really comes back in.
Yeah. It's not like Alpha Dog where it's just like super, super hard to watch the entire movie. Yeah. Not at all.
But it has like a fun plot that's got a lot of twists and turns, and there's like some interesting things at the end where you kind of like piecing it together, and then you're finding out like what's accurate and what's not accurate. Are we going to spoil this movie? Should we talk about it and then spoil it?
I think that the spoilers are kind of towards the end, so I think we could probably talk about the movie without talking about the spoilers and then get into spoiler talk later.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you want to start with the performances and then we'll talk about plot and then we'll break into spoilers?
Okay.
Yeah.
So Morgan Freeman plays one gangster, Ben Kingsley. Sir Ben Kingsley plays the other gangster.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I only said Sir Ben Kingsley because apparently the people who were writing the credits for the movie misunderstood how knighthood worked and thought that it was like part of his name somehow. And then other people were like, why the fuck is he billed as Sir Ben Kingsley? And then Ben Kingsley's like, I didn't even ask for this. Why am I billed as Sir Ben Kingsley?
I did not know that. It is an official title. Like, it should be fine to put in the...
Yeah, but that's like writing everybody's name as Mr. Bruce Willis. Like, we don't need that in front of every single person's name.
I guess, but if there's only one Mr. in your whole movie...
That would be great. Can you imagine a movie, though, with only one guy in it?
Sure.
Yeah. Like a movie that's reverse this movie? Because this movie has, like, one girl character in it.
With any lines.
Yeah, exactly.
Stanley Tucci plays a cop.
Love him. I'm a part of the Tucci gang, so...
Yeah, I normally love Stanley Tucci. I did not care for him that much in this movie.
Yeah, I have to agree. He was great as a human, but...
I thought the cop subplot seemed completely useless.
It is completely useless until about the last.
Yeah, there's a little bit of payoff at the end when there's a couple twists, but it could have just been left out.
It could have been left out. Totally. Totally agree. So it's kind of funny because we, a amount of time ago, talked about Alpha Dog, where we're like, man, I wish that there was a detective story. And then in this one, we're like, God fucking damn it. Why is this detective story mucking up our plot? So
the only thing that it does really useful to the plot is at the end, he has that phone call where Yakety Sax is like, so then I was telling you about, and proceeds to explain the whole plot of the movie. So that was useful.
Yeah. 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 So Stanley Tucci, we got to talk about Morgan Freeman and Ben Kingsley. What do you think about them in this movie?
When I first saw it again, 17, 18 years ago, I thought it was, I loved their performance. This time around, I thought again, it was a little flat for me.
I think especially Morgan Freeman.
They are supposed to be these like scary crime lords,
mm-hmm.
but I've never really seen that much power or fear from them.
No. Nope.
And is this set in Newark?
Oh, God. I had such confusion about the location, and then because I wrote it down.
I thought...
Yeah, I wrote down one of my notes was, I spent so long trying to figure out if this is NYC or Chicago, and it's New Jersey? Is that right?
Yeah.
No, it's NYC. So no, that was my note.
Well, at one point, are you sure it was NYC?
I think it is NYC.
So who do they go? What game do they go watch? Or what baseball game are they going to go watch?
You can email us at WillisWayPod to tell us that we're wrong.
To be fair,
I don't remember.
You can
what
live
game.
In Newark and like see NYC. So you could go to a baseball game.
As far as I'm concerned, the East Coast is one state.
But yeah. Screw those East Coasters.
Yeah.
The only reason I bring it up is because at one point they talk about going to New Jersey. back to New Jersey, or like they're in New Jersey, something about New Jersey.
They do reference it.
And
yeah.
I'm like, wait, is this in Newark this whole time?
Yeah. There. So I do hate it when movies are like New York, New York as the location or whatever. And they show you like 16 establishing shots of the city. And you're like, all right, I get it. It takes place in New York. But I also kind of hate it when I don't know where the fuck a movie takes place.
Yeah. And it's not super critical to know, but the fact that it's kind of like dangle wangled around, and then you're like, what?
Yeah. Less but, dangle wangling, more payoff is what I say.
Yeah. I thought that for being these two crime lords who have been locked in their rooms for 15 years or something like that, they seem to have like no power, because we're seeing like a few soldiers in their locations, but they seem to have like no ground control or like no real sense of like, I'm not ever like, oh, these are kingpins.
Yeah, totally agree. And it doesn't help too that all of their henchmen are just like the most incompetent henchmen. At first I thought that the movie was, A, sexist, which I think it might be, but B, also racist, because immediately we're introduced at the first three black characters that we see in this movie are a guy who mugs somebody, B, a person who works for the mob and is a moron, and then B, a person who works for the mob and is an even bigger moron. And I was like, why is every black guy in this movie a criminal and or dumb? What the fuck is happening? And then you get introduced to Morgan Freeman. You're like, oh, they're not all dumb. And then you meet the rabbi and his characters. And you're like, is this movie also anti-Semitic? No, they just think that all henchmen are dumb.
Well, it was like a video game where you have the Jewish boss and the black boss.
Yeah,
each of them have a bunch of henchmen who are Jewish or black.
Yeah, and like an RPG, you get to decide which one you want to do first. And this movie waffles a little bit, side quest in for a hot second.
Yeah, but it's
before.
Just like, ah, yes, you're in the black man's room. Here's all of our side characters.
And all of the rooms look the exact same too.
Which I think is kind of on purpose, but it's just kind of boring.
It is. I thought that visually this movie was very very plain, and the only times that I would notice that they're doing anything in camera, I would be like, why is this filmed this way? Like, there's a shot where Lucy Liu and Josh Hartnett are walking through a crowd of people and they're talking in whatever city this takes place in. Give me a city.
Atlanta.
So they're walking through the streets of Atlanta, and there is like a guy in the background, an extra, who disappears and reappears and then disappears again. And I was like, that's noticeable because he's right over their shoulder, and the camera doesn't do like a wide shot. It just does the same angle three times in a row, and it's very clear that it's different takes, and they don't intersplice it with other stuff so that we visually can forget about that background extra and not realize that he's missing or whatever. And so there's some stuff in this movie where I'm like, that was not competent. That was not a competent piece of filmmaking. And I'm not normally like a super critical movie watcher. I think that I watch movies with maybe a little bit more of a critique towards them than like the average person, maybe, but not even by much. I'm not a super, super filmy sort of person. But yeah, it was fascinating to watch that and just be like, all right, well, the performances are especially from Josh Hartnett and Lucy Liu are great, but visually this movie's directing, I felt like, left a lot to be desired.
I agree. And then let's start talking about the plot a little bit.
Okay, sounds good.
So, on its surface level and like first watch, I thought the plot was like intriguing enough, and there is enough there that you can watch it and piece together like, okay, this is what's happening, this is why people are doing things, and then the reveal at the end is like, oh, it's a surprise.
Yeah.
On my second time watching, I was like, there's a lot of like really overly complicated stuff that's not explained super well and doesn't need to be this complicated, but I think is done in order to make this like interesting Coen brother Tarantino-esque like mystery. But I still enjoyed the plot enough that
It did feel like some of the stuff was set up to where the movie was maybe written a little bit backwards, where they figured out what their big twist was going to be. And then they're like, okay, so we know that. What are the little breadcrumbs that we're going to leave throughout the movie? And then they're like, oh, no, that's too obvious. We got to convolute it a little bit. And so some of it is exactly that way, where it's just very confusing on first watch through until you think back on it and you're like, oh, okay, you had to do that to get from A to B to C to D. And yeah, it's a little bit convoluted. I also thought that the pacing was like really weird at parts. Yeah. I did like how they referred to a cop following somebody as a pigtail.
Yeah.
At one point, did you catch that too? Oh yeah, my God, I love that.
There's several great lines. And like I've been saying, the Josh Hartnett, Lucy Liu interactions are always great, especially when she's like in pure detective mode. I loved all those scenes.
Yeah,
where totally. She's like doing the investigation and then she goes to her job as a coroner.
Yep. Absolutely. I think that I might have said it before. I might have brought him up in previous episode, but Patrick Willems, the YouTube reviewer, he reviewed this movie on Letterboxd and he said, drop all the crime stuff, make it a romantic comedy with Josh Hartnett and Lucy Liu, and you've got an okay movie. So I think he's kind of along the same lines where he's like, yeah, the Lucy Liu and Josh Hartnett stuff was really good. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
Let's get into spoilers a little bit.
All right.
So I think my main issue is I feel like the beginning is overly complicated.
Yeah.
Because there's this whole like quick rapid cut where Bruce Willis is telling the story and he's like saying about the sure thing and a horse is going to be a sure thing. And it's not, and you're just kind of like just introduced what's going on and you're like, what's happening? A horse is being drugged to run faster. And then this weird chain of events is causing people to find out about it.
Yeah, none of that stuff made sense to
me. And it's just like, you're like, what?
It has to happen for the rest of the movie, the last 20 minutes of the movie, to mean anything. But yeah, it's...
Well, and then the horse doesn't win.
Yeah.
And they kind of hint that they killed the horse, like someone shot the horse. But I don't think that's what happened.
I'm so confused by that whole horse scene.
And so the horse doesn't win. And they immediately kidnap the guy. And they're like, well, he's not going to pay.
Yeah. And you know what you do when you have somebody who doesn't want to pay their bills. You kill him and his whole family.
Yeah. But then they do this quick line that's like, well, they were new in town. And they wanted to set a
precedent.
They wanted to set a precedent. Or they wanted people to know who they were. But.
Okay. I don't think I caught that when I was watching it. Yeah. I was just confused.
Yeah. And then the like bookie and laying bits off. And there's a lot of like betting lingo being tossed around for a movie that has no more betting in the rest of it.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. It definitely felt like somebody looked up a lot about betting and they're like, we're going to refer to it a lot in this because it is one of my interests right now.
Yeah. Have you ever been to a horse race?
No. I've never done that. Yeah, what I have done is I've had like a horse-drawn carriage, and then I actually decided to do things in reverse, and I had the carriage go first, and then I had the horse behind. I don't think anybody's ever done that before.
Have you heard that joke about a horse that walks into a bar, and the bartender says, who are you? And the horse says, I don't think, and then disappears. This is a joke. This is supposed to be a joke on existence, but that's putting Descartes before the horse. I feel like I butchered that joke.
Oh, man. No. It's good. It's good. It's perfect. No notes.
Yeah. Oh, also, the fact that the horse is named Slevin.
Oh my God.
And then the
God.
Kid's name is Slevin Kalevra, which just screams anagram. And actually, I don't remember what did Kalevra end up meaning.
Oh, it fucking meant.
It was like the name of
it's
someone.
It's Hebrew for bad dog, which is the opposite of Bruce Willis's character,
Good Cat,
Mr. Good Cat.
Ay, ay, ay.
This movie is frustrating from a script perspective. Yeah. But
Lucky Number 11 is such a catchy name.
It really is.
That's a dumb.
It really is. And There's a great BoJack Horseman bit where there's like a studio executive talking about names and how they're too complicated. And they're like, No Country for Old Men. I would have just called it Old Men or whatever. I think that man probably would have approved of this three-word title. But yeah, I mean, ever-long BoJack Horseman references. Yeah. One thing that I did find really dissatisfying about this movie is that at the end of the movie... Yakety Schmack, by the way, is Danny Elio. I don't know if you remember that. Yeah. From Hudson Hawk. Which is so fun because we have like two really great Bruce Willis callbacks, because Morgan Freeman hasn't been in a Bruce Willis movie since he played the judge in Bonfire of the Vanities. So now he's back. He's going to come up again soon. So get your Morgan Freeman card ready to go, because you're going to get a couple more punches for sure. But Danny Elio is, such a no nonsense, written character that is just there for the audience to explain what the fuck is happening in the movie, as it's intercutting between the other things that are going on. So you're not really clear about what the timeline is or whatever. Doesn't really matter all that much, but, when he's talking and he's like, yeah, so the guy who did this thing, it turns out it was connected to this kid, Slevin, and then boom, that guy dies. And this guy did this thing, and he was connected to Slevin. Boom! And then Ben Kingsley and Morgan Freeman are both connected to Slevin in the exact same way, because they were both there killing his dad. And that, to me, was so unsatisfying, that they were both connected in the exact same way, when the cop was connected in a weird, interesting way beforehand, because he mentions being on the books for whatever that crime boss is early on, and then he gets that payoff there at the end. And somebody else, Bruce Willis, also obviously was connected, because he was the one that abducted Slevin as a kid. And then it's like, oh, and Ben Kingsley and Morgan Freeman were both the guys that shot your dad.
Well, I think Ben Kingsley and or the boss and the rabbi were the crime lords. Those are like the up and coming crime lords.
Yeah.
Right. So that's what they were there. They're both like, they were already the lording. They were lording over crime.
But I thought that they were like under somebody else that we like didn't even get to meet.
I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah. I think they were the crime lords that were like up and coming and trying to make a name for themselves.
Did their henchmen at that point consist of half Jews, half blacks, or all black Jews?
I don't know, but I just know they were out there trying to get their Yelp reviews up high so that they
could. Oh, man. It's dumb. The end of that movie is wild. Did you, now knowing the spoilers and knowing the twist, how was your experience watching it the second time, considering those?
I still enjoyed it. Yeah.
I think I might enjoy it maybe a little bit more knowing what's going ahead. Because then you can kind of watch out for those things.
But... there's not a lot of like little reveals or anything.
Okay.
I will say that it is annoying. The Lucy Liu fake out death is annoying, because totally. It all happens so fast where you're like, oh, she's dead. Oh, she's not dead.
Yeah.
Oh, she didn't die because he told her.
I think that might have been again. A reshoot.
Oh, he doesn't care. Oh, maybe.
I think so.
You think that she originally died?
She originally died in the original ending. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
That would have been a bummer of a movie.
Yeah.
Because we're never shown like her wearing squibs or a vest or anything, are we?
No.
We just see her covered in blood, and then she's like, ta-da!
Yeah, she's like, I had the canteen bottle in my jacket, and it saved me.
I had a corpse in front of me.
Yeah, it's so stupid. It's so dumb. And then Bruce Willis at the end is like, I guess I don't need to kill you. Very stupid. Very dumb. Yeah, I don't know. This movie is all sorts of a mess, but it is fun.
Yeah.
It is a fun movie.
It's a great...
We're talking shit about it.
Great time at
the
cinema.
That's what we do.
Eat some popcorn, drink your Coca-Cola.
Yeah. This episode is sponsored by Pepsi, so we do have to recommend Pepsi products. Get your Barks Root Beer or Sierra Mist.
Oh, speaking of Pepsi, have you had any of the new Coke flavors?
No.
So there's like a million new Cokes or whatever.
Yeah.
Like Dreams flavor. There's a new one out right now that's like XP flavored for the gamer in you.
As in Windows XP?
It just says XP flavored.
Wow.
But it says it's designed by AI.
What?
I haven't had this latest one. I think it's supposed to taste like banana runts.
One time I ate some fruit down in Mexico and it was sold at a weird market. I got the banana runts from that one. I tell you what.
Was that pun intended?
That pun was intended.
I have had the Coke that's like Dreams flavored though.
Yeah.
That one wasn't very good.
Yeah. I think that I played the game based on it. I played is the Coke Brothers, is that a thing?
Yeah.
Or is that...
Yeah. Yeah, if you can become the Coke Brothers, you lose.
Yeah, okay. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Should we talk about our boy, our Brucey boy?
Yeah, let's talk about Bruce. So, before we do that, you want to drop me some box office?
Sure. Yeah, I'll absolutely drop the box office. Let's see over here. I do have it pulled up in a different tab. So this movie was made on a budget of 27 big ones, and it got 56.3 big ones at the box office. So if you count the ad revenue, I do not think it did super great. It did probably fine, but not amazing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about Bruce Willis. So pretty small performance.
Absolutely.
He's at the end, we kind of find out... he's more of a father figure than just a cold assassin.
Yeah.
I wish we could see the prequel of him raising Josh Hartnett. I think that movie would be great.
That movie would be pretty
great.
Like
a road comedy where they have to do some assassinations.
Yeah. Yeah. See how Josh Hartnett got all of his skills and everything as an assassin.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one thing that I noticed about this movie, and I did like Bruce Willis's movie. I thought that he was playing his role just fine. It's not a terribly demanding role for him, but I thought he was good. I think that this is sort of the era in between where Bruce Willis is leading action man star, sort of the like Mel Gibson, the Arnold, the Sylvester sort of character, in between that and him being the like action hero man that we know from later on in his career. And it's sort of bridging that gap where he's playing like he's kind of stepping into more supportive character roles. His time in the spotlight is changing for sure, or almost gone entirely. And now he's stepping into a weird sort of middle ground before he reinvents himself later as the like badass Baldy that I think a lot of people think of when they think of Bruce Willis. Mm-hmm. And so that this movie and Alpha Dogs both made me think of that, where he's sort of kind of stepping out of the spotlight momentarily to be that mentor character before he figures out what his sort of, and he and Hollywood both come to a conclusive decision on what his performance should kind of be interpreted as going forward and what roles he's really right for. Did you kind of get that sense too?
Yeah. He's able to do several movies in a year pretty easily because of these small roles.
Yeah, totally. Like he did four movies in 2006.
I think so.
Or four movies of his came out in 2006.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, it's very, very interesting.
And it's noticeably different from later in his career when he's doing a bunch of movies where his role is also really small, but it's definitely more of the there for the 3 seconds of lines to collect a paycheck.
Yeah.
These he's like invested in his role more and like still interested.
Totally. Totally. And obviously his illness is a big part
right.
of that, but from an audience perspective, definitely agree. Yeah. I'll mention just one piece of trivia, and that is that this movie, because every time that there's a cop in a movie, I love watching for the first time that they break the law, and in this movie,
because on this podcast we believe that all cops are bastards.
I mean, your words, not mine. If my mother-in-law listens to this podcast, I do not believe that. If you do not listen to this podcast, yeah, I mean, sort of. but illegally detaining people, that happened twice. And it was only an hour and 5 minutes into the movie before the cops did something illegal. And they're not even the main characters of the movie. So,
and that was illegally detaining?
Illegally detaining, yeah. Yep. Well, because, I mean, yeah. It wouldn't have been a problem if they just stopped him on the side of the street. But the fact that they fucking threw him in the van. That's a strike
against
the cops.
That whole plot, like, I've totally forgot.
God.
It doesn't make any sense because they're not shown as, like, almost catching the boss or the rabbi. They're not doing anything. They're just kind of bumbling around. And then there's that.
They're there because the screenwriter was like, what if there was one more element in my movie? And what if this element was played by Stanley Tucci?
Was he the fifth element?
Ooh, good callback to a pretty decent Bruce Willis movie.
Yeah, pretty decently rated number two on my list.
Yeah, that's true. I need to rewatch it. Yeah. Maybe we should do like a rewatch episode where we... Oh, we're coming up on 50 episodes.
We can do a clip
episodes.
Show.
Yeah, a clip show. Oddly enough, that would be so much more work than actually recording. I'm just trying to think through how much work that would fucking be. That would be so much work.
Oh, man.
If we get a $1,000 donation, we'll do a clip show episode. Mm-hmm. Other than that.
And that means a show where I clip Josh's hair.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Sounds good.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back.
Secret agent man.
All right, we're now going to talk about the Star Trek Connection. There's only one this time. His name is Daniel Cash. He was one of the henchmen.
Which one?
He just said henchman number two.
Jewish or?
Well, seeing as he's not a black guy, I'm going to assume so.
Okay. You're either Jewish or you're black in the world of henchmen.
Yeah, in Newark, New Jersey, or NYC, or Atlanta, Jersey.
Yeah, Philadelphia.
Yeah. This guy was in one episode of Star Trek Discovery. He plays... He was in two episodes. He plays a character named Duggan, or a character named Haz Mazazaro.
Ah, Haz Mazazaro.
Haz Mazazaro.
Hey, what happened to Tommy? Why isn't he in class today? Sorry, he has Mazazaro. I don't like Star Trek Discovery.
Josh only likes things that he can not like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, as established before, my tastes are terrible, and if you agree with me, you're wrong.
It's because he refuses to taste new things.
This is true. I hate tasting new things. All right, so it's now come to the part of the podcast where we're going to rank this movie against every other Bruce Willis movie. I do have my ranking ready to go if you want me to go first, or you can go first. Up to you.
I need you to go first.
You need me to go first? Mm-hmm. Okay. So I thought this movie was all right. I thought it was better than Sin City, so I am ranking it above Sin City. Sin City is number 15. This movie is number 14. And number 13, right above it, is Kendrick's second favorite movie by Bruce Willis, The Fifth Element. So... ranking it at number 14.
I'm looking at a different list than you because on my list you have The Fifth Element is 12. But that's okay. It's just numbers.
That's probably an old list.
Well, I'm going to rank it at number 13, which is right above Bandits and right below... or sorry... it is right ahead of Bandits and behind it is The Last Boy Scout. So I don't know how do I say things in lists.
Have you heard of that? I've referred to it like six times recently, but have you heard of that one thing where if somebody asks you to like turn up the AC, it's like, what does that mean? Does that mean make it warmer or make it colder? Does, yeah, make AC work more, make AC work less? Yeah.
Me make AC work.
Me make AC work.
Bah, 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 bah.
Yeah, so interesting stuff. If you do want to see our rankings of Bruce Willis movies, you can check the show notes below. I will be plugging the rankings of both Kendrick and my Bruce Willis opinions. So you can go in there, and Letterboxd even allows comments so you can tell me how wrong I am for putting The Fifth Element so low. And you can tell Kendrick how right he is for putting, what's your top movie?
12 Monkeys.
12 Monkeys up at the top. Oh my God, I love 12 Monkeys. I love 12 Monkeys.
I like how I have it written as 12 Monkeys and you have it written as 12 Monkeys.
Yeah. Yeah. Kendrick and I, for the record, both spell monkeys different. I spell it numerically and he spells it alphanumerically. So it does show up different depending on the program.
At least we didn't spell it like The Monkeys.
The Monkeys. I thought love was only true in fairy tales. Meant for someone else, but not for me. It's time for...
You know what
for...
else is true and only in fairy tales?
The Wheel of Willis.
Yes.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Where's that wheel? Then I saw her face. The wheel has been whisked. All right, all right, all right. Would this movie be improved by setting it in space?
Ooh. Do you know who sent this one in?
I do not know. It doesn't say on this list.
Well, thank you if you sent this one in. Yeah, I think this would be a fun sci-fi movie where there's like two spaceships instead of two buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's set in like the Newark, New Jersey space cluster.
Yeah, New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no, I absolutely think that a little bit of style probably would have helped this movie visually, and it would have kind of set it apart a smidge. So, yeah, I totally think it would have been a worthwhile endeavor to set it in space. I think that that would have been the way to go. So, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely agree.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Where There's a Willis, There's a Way. You can find all our previous episodes at willisweypod.com. You can rate and review these episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other podcast listening apps. Send us an email, correction, praise, Bitcoin.
Or a Willis, or a Willis suggestion.
Yeah,
a Willis.
That's another one of those viruses.
Yeah, if your grandma talks about Willis downloading from the Facebook, run away, burn her computer.
Yeah. You can email us at williswaypod@gmail.com. You can find me on social media, Blueski, Mastodon, at K Martinix. That's KMARTINIX. Or you can see all my other work over at kmartinix.com. Joshua.
You can find me on X and Blue Sky at Joshing Carter, and Instagram and T2 Social at Prov Josh. That's PROVJOSH.
Every episode, we end the episode with our tasty sweet treat.
We always refer to it as the same thing every episode.
Yeah. What do you have for us this time, Josh?
Yeah. So my tasty treat this episode is going to be Baldur's Gate 3.
Never heard of it.
It is. Oh, really? That's shocking to me.
Is it the sequel to Baldur's Gate?
It is the sequel to Baldur's Gate 2, actually, which is the sequel to Baldur's Gate.
Oh.
So it's a game about walking, specifically how long between each step. That's why it's called Baldur's Gate. So it's a... And it's actually set in the same universe as Billy Bathgate. So if you ever listen
I'm
to
I'm
going to
kick you in your Baldur's Gate if you...
But it's great. It's an RPG. It's incredibly well made. The voice acting is really thorough and super enjoyable. I am losing countless hours to this game. In fact, I am so embarrassed by how many hours I'm losing that I'm playing in Steam's offline mode so that I am not showing my friends how many hours I'm wasting away in this game.
Wow.
Highly recommend it. What about you, Kendrick?
I have been watching a show that came out earlier this year on the Peacock Network.
Nice.
Called Poker Face. Have you heard of this show?
Poker Face. Is it the Ryan Johnson produced
yes.
one? Okay.
Natasha Lyonne stars.
Is Lady Gaga also involved in this, or am I crazy?
You're crazy.
I'm crazy. Okay, good.
And Natasha Lyonne plays this character who can... it's not exactly explained how or what exactly...
Oh, I'm thinking of Joker Face. Oh. And by Joker Face, I mean Joker 2.
Oh.
Sorry, go ahead.
She can tell if you're lying or not.
Hmm.
So she's traveling the U.S., and she gets like embroiled in all these... crimes where she like
and it's like crime of the week, right?
Happens to be in town and there's like a murder and she's like, well, that person's lying, something must be afoot.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, and it's so good.
I love that.
Each episode I'm like, wow, this show's great. So that's Poker Face on the Peacock Network.
I will try to watch that because I watched Monk growing up with my family, starring
Tony Shalhoub.
I'm trying to think if he was in a Bruce Willis movie. Was he in a Bruce Willis movie and I'm just forgetting it?
I don't know.
He might have been.
Yeah.
He
was in an episode of X-Files I just watched recently.
Really?
It was a very strange one where his shadow would eat people.
Oh, my God. He's also in Galaxy Quest, and he's great in Galaxy Quest. Yep. Yeah. But Tony Shalhoub is fantastic in Monk. So, and I love the like little episode of the week comfort shows. So I will definitely try to check that out. That sounds good.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. Next time, we're going to be covering the movie 16 Blocks, the sequel to 16 Candles.
And if you haven't watched the first 15 blocks, well, we're going to say if that's worth a watch. You'll only be able to hear about that here at Willis Way Pod.
And then after, we'll talk about 27 Dresses, which I assume is the sequel.
It is the sequel. Yeah. Lucky Number 11, The Magnificent Seven, Seven Samurai, 16 Blocks, 27 Dresses, 27 Days or...
28 Days.
28 Days. Yeah, that's also one of them. Yeah. It's all... big series of events.
Right. Cinematic Universe.
The Cinematic Universe. Can you imagine if that was a podcast, though, where we talked about different movies that all have numbers in the title?
Wow. That'd be a fun idea, is if every movie you had to pick a new movie that was linked to this one.
To the previous one? Yeah, that'd be great. Next time, we're covering 16 Blocks. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye. Oh, yes, it's fun time. That audio was from the trailer of Lucky Number 11. And that audio was from The Princess Bride.
Don't correct it. We're keeping it.